welcome back to Extra Feature Standard. Today we have Amy Taylor, who's a fabulous director and writer. And we're going to find out where she got this crazy idea from. Her film was Hunter's Weekend. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you got a great accent, Amy. I really like it. Good work.
Well, it's Virginia.
So I guess we got to start off with your film. Like, where did this idea come from? Like, were you just sitting outside in the campgrounds, or give us some details?
Well, I mean, it was partially sort of like that scene in The Princess Bride where they're thinking about storming the castle and they're like, what are our assets? And I knew I wanted to shoot something and I knew I didn't have a lot of money. So I was like, what do I have that I can use? And the idea sort of came out of that because I knew, all right, my parents live in a house out in the woods. So we've got woods. What can I do in the woods? I know these actors. I've worked with them before. I'm pretty sure I can convince them to come out to the woods for a little, you know, shoot one day. So who do I know? What parts can I write for them? And then, you know, I like horror, so obviously it went that way. And then I wanted to do something, I don't know if you would call it feminist exactly, but just something where, you know, in the end, the girl survived and sort of turned that on its head a little bit, and showcased these two guys, who are sort of, I like to think of them as like the epitome of toxic masculinity, and sort of explore that relationship and show why it's bad for everyone. So that's the genesis of it. What do I have? And then what kind of a script can I write to fit these things that I know that I have?
Well, we got an idea here. You tell me your parents have a house in the woods and you film in a park. So does this park really exist or you made this line up?
The park is close to their house. Although the sign is our sign that we made up. But like the area with the picnic tables, most of the beginning of the film we filmed in the park. And that's just like 20 minutes away from my parents' house. And I didn't necessarily plan on shooting there because I had been thinking, you know, as low budget as possible. And as soon as you go to, you know, a park or someone else's house, then it becomes more complicated with permits and, you know, all these various people that you have to talk to get permission. But we talked to them and they were very, you know, here's a permit, you know, $20 permit. You're not doing any like explosions in the park. You're just doing some talking scenes. So come on over. So we took advantage of that.
So weren't worried you were making a film in the park at any time? They didn't ask you what it was about?
Well, they asked us what it was about. And, you know, we told them, you know, it's about these two park rangers who are having this gathering, a hunter's weekend, and people are getting picked off. But we, you know, told them that obviously there's not any big murder scenes that we would be filming in the park. So it's not like poor little Timmy's going to be on the swing set over there and then look over and see us filming some sort of gory horror scene. So, you know, they were cool with it.
I guess I got to start off. They're filming this, the two park rangers, when we start the film. I'm not giving anything away.
Why are
they filming it? For notoriety?
In the beginning.
For themselves? It seems like a strange thing to do.
Well, they're filming it for themselves. I think you'll notice Lyle, who's the head ranger, is a bit of a narcissist.
Just a bit.
Just a little bit. And he, you know, he thinks this would be great for posterity. And maybe not necessarily while he's alive, because I don't know if I want to give away too much, but, you know, if there might be some legal implications if he showed it while he was alive. But certainly after he's dead, he wants people to see this. And then, you know, within his own social circle, I'm sure he'll force people to watch this, you know, many years in the future at every Hunter's weekend. Like, oh, let's watch the tape, you know, of good old 2018 Hunter's weekend. So that was sort of the idea.
You kind of introduced another character, both your characters, really early. One you need to pay attention to, I'll tell the viewers, and I'm not going to tell you which one, but pay attention. Do you feel that Lyle's biggest problem is he is a narcissist? I mean, Vix just wants to be him. It's kind of funny.
Well, yeah, probably his biggest problem is that he's a narcissist, but also, well, everything that goes along with that. I mean, he laps up Vic's, you know, adulation, and Vic looks up to him. And, you know, Lyle, because of this, you know, Lyle really thinks that he's the big man on campus, and I think he thinks that he's a little more capable than he really is. And he doesn't expect anyone to come along to sort of challenge his authority. Overconfident, to say the least.
I'm going to ask a question. You have the Hunter's weekend, and it takes you a while to unfold your plot. I would honestly say that. And then I started understanding what was going on. I guess my question is, are all these people competent enough to be here?
Well, I'd say there are different degrees, for sure. I'd say Lyle and Victor, you know, they're park rangers, so they do have some degree of competence.
I didn't get that at all. I thought they had zero. Yeah, I didn't think they had any sense of what they were doing.
Lyle and Victor, you know, they think that they have more than they do, but they have sort of a base level.
Okay. I'll give them that.
Of competence, I would say. I think, you know, there's one of the other characters. I don't know if you want me to name him. I don't know if that's giving away too much. The Artie character.
You do what you want to do.
What's that?
It's your interview. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you what to do. I'm not going to ruin your film.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, I guess I can name names without getting too specific. But so, yeah, the Artie character, I would say the Artie character probably shouldn't be out there, either in the woods or hunting. But he was invited, and it's, you know, it's a great honor. So he came out there, and he's in over his head. But then other characters, like the Chad/Orlando character, I think he knows what he's doing. And he's a weird guy. Doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing, maybe, but he does. And then, let's see, there's Eric. I think he is probably the most competent, in terms of hunting. And he certainly does a lot of research, about, you know, camping in the woods. And so he's prepared in that way, but maybe not with the practical ability for spending a weekend out in the woods.
So let's go back to doing research. You discussed earlier that these actors were familiar to you. So you didn't do any auditions or anything?
No. I had worked with them all before. I went to Ohio University for film school, and they have a great theater department there. So I had worked with all of them before, either at school or I did a web series, before this feature called Just Archer Versus. And a bunch of them had been in that. So, you know, we had a really good working relationship, and, they sort of knew, you know, what to expect when reading one of my scripts and sort of like how the delivery should be. And I knew how they like to work. So I think that certainly helped us with the time constraints, that we had a very good understanding of, you know, what this should be, the performances.
So since you listened to all my interviews, you know my next question is going to be, did they eat your host?
lot to feed a crew and cast, even if they are super small. We just did a lot of family style meals.
Did your mom help and your dad help and bring them out to them? Like, I'm just trying to get to the gist. Like, come on, give it to me. You're an independent filmmaker. How'd you feed your cast?
Well, so first of all, I asked my parents to take their vacation while we were filming. So we had the whole house because I had to sleep in their room so we'd have room for everyone. In the rest of the house, if someone used my bedroom. We just did like big family style dinners. A taco bar we cooked out one night, hamburgers and, macaroni and cheese. I don't know how healthy we were. But then we did just pretty basic sandwiches for lunches. Bagels and cream cheese, cereal for breakfast. Seemed like the most important thing to have was coffee for the morning.
There you go.
You got to have the coffee. And then a lot of people had double or triple duty. So we had the makeup wardrobe person also basically produced, all the craft services. And then other people would pitch in and, help clean the dishes and, grill out on the grill. We just went to Walmart. It was a 5.5-day shoot. And we went to Walmart, the day before the first day of shooting. And then we had an off day in the middle. So we went to Walmart again and just loaded up on all the necessities. And that was probably the biggest chunk of budget that wasn't specifically to pay people.
Of course. So how'd you raise your funds?
Well, we did a Kickstarter. And we did for half. So the budget was $10,000 roughly. And we did a Kickstarter for $5,000. And I had sort of managed to save up the rest of it, sort of, because I used to live in Los Angeles, and then I moved back to Virginia for sort of health reasons. My parents are getting older, I got the deposit back for my apartment in Los Angeles. I wasn't having to pay Los Angeles rent anymore, so I was able to just save some big chunks of money that way. Then we did a Kickstarter for the rest of it, and that was, mostly friends and family. I had done a Kickstarter previously for the web series, so people who had donated to the web series were nice enough to also donate when I came around again begging for money. We were able to do $5,000 that way.
That's awesome. So where did you steal the pickup truck from?
That is my dad's pickup truck, and we just made a decal to put on it for the park ranger decal. He's very happy. Although he says he has a vanity license plate, and he was sad that didn't get a shot.
No, it did not make it because I was paying attention to those things. So where did you get your uniforms for them from?
We made them. I trolled eBay and I found some old park ranger, park service patches for sale. And then I just bought some tan shirts and green pants, baseball cap. The Tamara is our wardrobe makeup person and she sewed the patches on. And it looked pretty real.
It did. I thought they looked great.
Happy about that.
I was very happy.
They're a little worse.
So, you decide to put your nemesis in an all-black outfit.
Yes.
I think I'm okay saying that. I'm not ruining anything. I'm just going to leave it at that. How hot was that outfit?
was pretty hot. luckily, the person did not have to be in it that often. And we were able to film those scenes fairly quickly, so they were able to get that mask off before passing out. It was hot when we were shooting, real hot. We shot it June in Virginia. Is very humid and hot. There are a lot of ticks and mosquitoes, so we had to watch out for that. But yeah, we just kept hydrated and kept those scenes as short as we could, so our actor didn't have to be too uncomfortable.
Sorry, I'm backing up to your actor. You have a gag reel almost at the end of this, of your film.
Yes.
So you had to shoot each and every one of those for the end. So you can't tell me that didn't take too long. There must have been some screw-ups and retakes.
Well, I mean, it didn't take that long, really. The longest one was there's one that involves water.
Yeah.
And that was difficult to sort of find an angle that looked right. And I don't want to give away exactly what's happening in that. But, yeah, so that one was a little bit difficult. But, I mean, we just went out and we shot it and we'd do a couple takes. And, yeah, I mean, it's not – it didn't take a long time. We did all of those on the last day, you know, I'd say 3 hours maybe.
That's not bad.
And, of course, the person in the – in the heavy black costume, you know, they didn't have to stay in it. You know, they would go in and out of the house because we actually shot most of that, like, very near the house, so they could go into the air conditioning while we sort of set up the next shot. So they didn't have to hang around for 3 hours in that getup. But, I mean, we shot pretty quickly. I mean, we had to. And by the, you know, by the end of the shoot, we were in a pretty good rhythm. Because sometimes we would shoot 20 pages a day, and I was very paranoid about the weather, because I was like, all right, I've made this film written this film that can be low budget, but it's all outside, and that could be a problem. So actually by the, we shortened the end, we took away a day, actually, so we finished early, because we had planned to shoot for 7 days, but I was paranoid about the weather, so I sort of pushed us through, and right as we were shooting the last couple shots, it did start to rain, so we just made it.
What kind of camera did you use?
We had a Sony EX3. We used that, cause we wanted to have sort of a more documentary news type feel, to it. And we were able to borrow that luckily, from Ohio University. They were kind enough to let us have that, and some sound equipment. So we didn't have to shell out for equipment.
So you just phoned up your old alma mater saying, I need some stuff?
Pretty much.
Okay. Hey, if it works for you, do it. I'm not going to stop you. What's up with the pink shirts in your film?
What's up with the...
I got another pink shirt. So there must have been a few of them in the movie.
I'm not sure. What do you mean?
Your participants in the games are wearing pink shirts.
Oh. Yeah, I guess there are a couple of people wearing pink shirts.
I just want to know if you got a deal at Walmart on pink shirts, or you just like the color pink. Sorry. I pick up on these things.
Pink shirts. Well, I think one of the shirts was a little more red on the day, but showed up pinker than we thought.
Okay, then that's fine. I didn't know it was red.
There was no hidden meaning behind the pink shirts.
Well, I have to
ask. We did go to Walmart and get what was on sale.
Well, that's what I figured. The pink shirts were on sale that week. I accept that. Okay, if you think this is too spoiler, do not answer this question, but I think we're okay. I'm going to try to be nice. Okay. I did enjoy how, when you finally told me the nemesis, and they received some mail. I thought that was fantastic.
Okay, good.
I tried to leave that as ignorant as I could, but you understood what I meant.
I think I understand what you mean, yeah.
I thought that was really smart work on you, your part.
Oh, thank you.
I thought that worked really well. I needed that. I think the viewer watching the film needs that to understand what's going on.
Yeah. I think without it, it's probably just like, why is this happening? what has been the motivation this whole time? And if you listen to the mail being read, a lot of the names in there are Kickstarter supporters. One of the rewards was to have, you know, your name used in the film. And actually a lot of the character names are Kickstarter people. Hopefully they'll enjoy that.
That's an interesting tidbit I had no idea about. So where did you steal the Nightshade bit from? Because you keep going back to it. Hello? Okay, still there.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought I lost you.
The Nightshade bit. I mean, I was sort of thinking... I'm trying to be not spoil anything.
It's up to you. You don't have to say anything. You can just leave it as is.
I mean, I'm just trying to find a way to answer your question without... I mean, okay, I'll say this. The Nightshade bit, I think it's not too much to say that it's sort of a slasher movie. And so I was thinking of sort of famous slashers and serial killers and, like, what do they do? What's their mark? And so I was thinking about the Black Dahlia, and then I was thinking about plants, and I was like, oh, Nightshade. Okay. So it's sort of a ripoff of that idea. I probably watched too many episodes of Criminal Minds or something.
Okay, I got one last question, because your film is, if I ask you a lot of questions, it's so spoilers, so I have to be very careful, but I can answer.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, that's what I told you, and we'll go offline. I even texted you, said this is going to be a hard interview for me, because it's so hard to write questions. So yeah. On the end credits of your film, you put old-timey music, I called it.
Yes.
Why?
Well... I sort of thought about that portion of it as if it was a 20s silent film.
That's where I took it.
Yeah. And I sort of think of this figure in the black mask as one of those, old-time sort of villains. If you've seen... Le Vampire, one of the sort of more famous, I guess, silent films, probably one of the only ones that I could reference, to be honest. But, there's sort of a figure in this black outfit that I was thinking of as I did that sequence. And I knew I wanted to use that piece of music. And so I was asking my composer, can we... do it sort of electronically, like the rest of the score, sort of this 80s feel, but then that didn't really work. And then he came up with this. He was like, I did it like an old-timey saloon piano. What do you think? And I was like, this is great. Perfect. I love it. So I was sort of thinking about silent films when I did that portion.
That's what I thought. Okay, so I took that correct. Okay, well, now it's time for fun questions. I can't talk about your film other than ruining it. So I apologize for that, but that's the best I can do. I'm going to mix these up tonight because I know you've been listening to too many interviews. Your favorite food?
Favorite food? There's so many. I mean, mashed potatoes, I guess, really. If you give me mashed potatoes, I'll be happy.
How close is the nearest Golden Corral to your house, and how often do you go?
There's a Golden Corral, like 45 minutes away, probably. It's not a very good one, though, so we don't go that often.
Fair enough. Your favorite film?
Oh, I mean, what kind of a question?
Well, let's go with horror film, because I'm going to classify your film as a horror comedy, so I'll give you a chance.
Okay. That I can probably narrow it down. Okay. I'm going to say Shaun of the Dead.
Fair enough. No,
because I love horror comedy.
Now, I guess my last question, since you live in a remote place, it may not work, but I'm going to have to ask. Do you shop for used DVDs, and what's the strangest thing you bought?
We don't have any old DVD stores. I've been looking. I'll tell you what the strangest thing I would like to buy is, if I could ever find
it. Sure.
There's this movie called Incident at Loch Ness with Werner Herzog. And it's also a mockumentary sort of horror film. And I saw it, somebody screened it at film school at one point, many years ago. And it was a little bit of the inspiration for this. Cause I said, oh, I always want to do a mockumentary. Like that looks like so much fun and such an interesting, way to do horror. And I've never found it anywhere. I mean, I guess I don't know. I think the one time I checked Amazon, it was like, you know, $129 or something. Maybe it's come down in price. But, yeah, I would like to find that movie. Because it's like this weird fever dream that I remember because I saw it, you know, once.
So tell everybody where they can find your film.
Well, they can't quite find it yet. It is out for submission to festivals. So hopefully we'll get in some places, and then hopefully people will be able, if something's playing near them, they'll be able to come and see it. And then we'll see what happens as far as getting distribution on any streaming platforms.
You're going to be on Amazon. Your film fits perfectly. Trust me. You'll be on Amazon. I'll guarantee it.
I mean, you can upload directly to Amazon now, so it will be on Amazon.
There you go. Okay, well, I didn't know that, so there you go.
Yeah, I think it's a recent thing. But yeah, so that's sort of like, if nothing else, surely they will find it on Amazon one day. But if you want to keep updated with, you know, where we're going to do screenings, fingers crossed, we'll do screenings, and where they can find it, you know, they can follow us on Twitter. And Facebook, we have a Facebook page. I'm thinking about Instagram, but I'm like, ugh, that's so much.
Don't worry about it. You're good. Well, thank you for your time. You were lovely, and I hope your film does great.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye. Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.